You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of October. It's the Quinn Snyder edition of Locked On Jazz. The extension has been signed, and he held an epic post-practice press conference. We'll divulge, dissect, and be delighted that he's signed for all these years. All coming up next on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers. So fired up to bring you the NBA season starts tomorrow. We start Wednesday against Oklahoma City. All right, lots of things. A few notes for you. The first edition of Hollinger and Duncan is out. I listened to it last night. It's quite good and interesting. And if you're a basketball junkie, you're going to love that show, so go subscribe. Other thing for you, there's snow on the ground, and the Utah Snowmobile Show presented by Fly Racing is coming. The Utah Snowmobile Association and Snow West is coming up this weekend. It's happening at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy. It's the premier snowmobile show, not only in the state of Utah, but the entire Intermountain region. It's that big. People from Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, Arizona, California, Alberta. Anyway, booths for Arctic Cat, Ski-Doo, Polaris, filled with all of the 2020 snowmobile models, mountain sleds, kids sleds, family sleds, powder deep sleds, deep powder sleds, dyslexic sleds, trail machines, all of it. So big, fast, lightweight, modified mountain sleds, some of the unique, great stuff. It's all going on. It is the snowmobile show taking place, presented by Fly Racing, this weekend at the Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy. You can find out more and get your discounted tickets online at snowwest.com/Utah. snowwest.com/Utah. Regular price at the gates. Friday, 3 to 9. Saturday, 10 to 6. All right. Here's what I want to do today. It was a huge day for the Jazz. Quinn Snyder signs an extension. This guy is our all-star. His level of detail, his commitment, his work, his sleepless nights breaking down film, the players' belief in him, his incredible mind, all make him one of the truly special coaches in the league. I really believe, other than Milwaukee with Bud, Clippers with Doc, Miami with Spoelstra, if he were on the market, 26 teams would hire him. I actually think the Spurs would probably hire him and move, and that would be their transition. So I think one of the most appealing free agents on the market, if he ever got there. The Jazz prevented that. The Millers continue to show an unbelievable commitment to coaches, which has been the signature of this organization, and then they've chose them well with Frank, Jerry, and Quinn. I'm around Quinn a tremendous amount, and I cannot tell you just what, if I had to break him down, there's a genius, there's an attentiveness to detail, there's an awareness of his surroundings at all times, of all the people in his surroundings, whether it comes to something going on in Ron Boone's life, his assistant, or one of his players. He's aware, he takes the moment, he checks in. His brain, his ability to be on one corner of the court and see the other corner of the court at the same time is just unprecedented. And then the commitment he has to having his players get better and be prepared is something that brings his players along. He's always said this. There's two things you can do as a coach. One is you pay attention to your players, you'll learn a lot. And number two, he'll tell you, is all players want to do is get better. And if they believe you're going to put them in a position to succeed, they'll support you. That is so true. So that's the essence of Quinn. That's what makes him great. Now, either coincidentally or he was juiced because of it, Quinn on Saturday put together one of the coolest post-practice press conferences that you'll hear. It was 11 minutes long. There were three questions. Tip of the hat to, it was Ryan Deseret News, or Ryan KSL, or I think it was, or I think, I'm not sure. And then Eric Walden, Salt Lake Tribune, and I wasn't sure. I think it might have been the new Deseret News writer. So three really good questions, tip of the hat to the media that was there, to Quinn. And what I want to do on today's show is I've taken those three. The first one's short, it's 2 minutes. The second one is not short, it's 4 minutes. And the third one is not short, it's about 4.5 minutes. And we're going to take each one and just let you hear his answer and then dissect a little bit. And I'll try to give you a tip beforehand as well. So the first question came about Joe Ingles and how he's getting better. And if you listen to this, it's pretty fascinating. Quinn talks about, one, first you get an insight into Quinn watching a game and what he's looking for players that's beyond the obvious. That's the first part that should jump out to you. The second part is Quinn getting into almost a deep philosophical piece about being Joe being a connective guy. And I'll jump in on that a little bit. And then the final one was the evolution. He talks about the evolution of Joe's game. So here is the first answer from Saturday's presser with Quinn Snyder that I thought was so genius and wanted to share with you.
Well, Quinn, working a story on Joe, mm-hmm. What kind of made you see him in that pick and roll sense just way early on?
I think it, you know, when the first few times I saw Joe play, you could tell that, you know, he had feel for the game. And he was playing for a team in Barcelona that had a lot of good players. And so, you know, he wasn't, he didn't stand out in the sense that he, you know, scored 20 points or, you know, had 10 assists and those types of things. But he just always made, you know, the right play. And he was able to discern the right play, you know, his ability to read. And then I think really when he came, he did two things. He started to really work defensively. He knew that was important. And he really started shooting the ball and shooting with, you know, confidence and understood that that was a way that he could impact the game. And I think from the shooting then, you know, allowed him to make plays off his shot and giving you the whole genesis. And then as that happened, he began to become more of a primary playmaker as opposed to someone who's playmaking, you know, off their shooting. You know, he was playmaking to initiate possessions. And some of that is, you know, I think the way that we play, he's kind of, because there's been a need there in some respects, that he's been able to grow. Same way he grew defensively to get an opportunity, I think he's been able to grow in that way as a playmaker too. And he's very, you know, he's a connective guy. So, you know, he's good in a pick and roll situation because he's able to communicate with the guy who's involved in the pick and roll. That kind of cohesion is what makes that play unique. It's not, because it's never, there's so many nuances in how it unfolds, you know, and it's up to the players usually to make those reads and connect with each other and play off each other.
So that's a simple answer. The next two are probably actually even more in depth, but talks about discerning the right play. So Quinn's watching Joe and seeing him understand what the right play to be made is at all the times in the game. And that allowed him to make plays. Then the progression that he just talked about there, so interesting, that he learned the shot. The shot then, because they started closing out on him differently, or they were worried, allowed him to start playing and making plays, which then brought that other skill of discerning the right play out. And then the connective guy. That's really the essence and the key to kind of who Quinn Snyder is this like depth of looking at someone as they're a connective guy. So Joe's looking and worrying about other people and connected to them and feeling them and understanding their movements and how he and Derek obviously had this amazing connection. Actually, he and Rudy's is just as good, but we talked about Derek's so much. But he and Derek really did have this connective togetherness. And then Quinn, you know, doesn't just talk about the pick and roll as a pick and a roll. He talks about as a relationship and cohesion and a uniqueness to the play. I thought that was a pretty good example of those aspects of how Quinn thinks of things. The next one's is great. It's about the offense being ahead of the defense. And then the final one is the player development system that the Jazz use. And Quinn reveals more in that interview than he actually ever has. So those are the next two that are coming up. Pretty cool. Today's show brought to you in part by Murdoch Chevy. I'm driving the new Blazer. I was with my boss, Jeremy Castro, the other day. Got a bunch of rave reviews. He was like, I love this car. I'm going to go look at it. And, you know, he's he's my boss. Like, he's a big time dude. But he loved it. It looks snazzy. It looks cool. It's really made well. I've driven both the Chevy Equinox and the Chevy Blazer recently and have been super impressed by how well they are put together, the solidness. You know, you really feel as though you've got a kind of a capsule that you're in, and then a smooth ride with a good acceleration and a strong feeling on the road. Plus, all of the interfaces in the car, very easy to understand and use, which shows you a lot about it. And the cameras are great. I was actually with my dad the other day as we headed down to the store, and he's like, wow, that's an amazing top camera for parallel parking. So Chevy's doing a great job with that. You've got the Silverado and the Colorado trucks. You've got the Equinox. You've got the Blazer plus the well-known Suburban and the Tahoe. It's all at Murdoch Chevy, both in Logan and in Woods Cross. Check it out. Say hi to Ben up in Logan and at Woods Cross. It is Murdoch Chevy. Jazz and the Thunder on Wednesday. Tickets are still available for that at utahjazz.com. There's a tip-off pack also that they've released where you can see the Clippers on October 30th, the Timberwolves and Karl Anthony Towns November 18th, and the Lakers on December 4th. That's $115. And you get early entry to watch warm-ups to the Lakers game, LeBron and Anthony Davis, on December 4th. So that's three games between now and December 4th. So make sure you get that. Also, Saturday is the throwback pack. We're wearing our throwback uniforms and for $40, standing room only, t-shirt, and post-game court time, all part of the throwback pack. So both those are at utahjazz.com. All right, let's get to the second question. Eric Walden, Salt Lake Tribune, asked this. It's about why the defense is ahead of the offense. And the big thing to talk about here is he digs into the habits of defense, how he believes defense works. You wonder why our defense gets better throughout the year. There'll be no doubt when you're done listening to this. He then specifically gets into something that I've tried to talk about, but he talks about it much better, is how different the world is for Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic and Jeff Green and all these guys. He gets really specific into Conley and how different his world is defensively now than what it was. And that all these guys, we've talked about it mostly offensively, but are making a defense of adjustment as well. So here is the answer to the question of why the defense is ahead of the offense.
I think that, you know, offense in a large part is instinctive, and where defense is more habits and habitual, particularly when, you know, the team's able to space the way that we can. It allows guys to, and we've, we're finding out more about ourselves offensively. I think that's going to be the big thing, that the offense will, I think, adjust as the season goes on, because personnel, the way teams will guard us will be different. You know, we saw the way Milwaukee played us, the way Portland, you know, everything's, so the offense will kind of, you know, grow that way. Defensively, there's just kind of some foundational things that are unique to every program. You know, that we'll defend something one way, Milwaukee will defend it another way, you know, the Lakers may defend it another way, the Spurs may defend it another. So if you've been in a system and you're used to guarding something a certain way, you know, the easiest example would be if you come from a system that, you know, everybody switches pick and roll 1 through 5. Well, now for Mike and Rudy, you know, if we were to do that, you know, that might be comfortable to the guy who's done that, but, you know, the player that he's now switching with hasn't done it. And then the question is, well, is that, you know, I think Mike and Rudy switching pick and roll 1 and 5, you know, there may be a time for it, but that's not our fundamental base defense. So what that means is guys have to not only, they have to develop different habits, different kind of points of emphasis, different focus. And when you're like intellectually trying to remember something, you know, it's not instinctive yet. And then what happens is you're trying to do something the right way, and you're not able to compete on the level in order to do it. Now, the alternative is just do it any way you want and play really hard and compete. And sometimes that's okay, but over the long haul, you know, I think there's more efficiency to everybody being connected. You know, defending a play or a pick and roll possession You know, the offense is running the play, but defending the play is almost a play in and of itself. You know, that you guard something a certain way. So everybody's reliant on each other in those situations, and that takes time. You know, and it's you have to sometimes if it's new to you, you have to see yourself not doing it the right way in order to understand how we want to do it, and that's oftentimes hard to replicate in practice because you're playing against different personnel. So it's hard to replicate, you know, Damian Lillard. It's hard to replicate Giannis, you know. So and again, that's not to say that we need to play better defensively. I think all our guys feel that, and that's why we, you know, there's no illusions about the fact that we need to be good defensively to be a good team. You know, you're not going to be a good team if you don't guard, and that's, you know, that takes time. It's not so much patience as it is understanding. It's like realism. You know, there's a realism involved, and you know, Mike Conley is picking up at a different point on the floor than he did for most of his career in Memphis. Well, Rudy Gobert is not Marc Gasol. Rudy's not up, you know, able to double the ball at the three-point line the way Marc Gasol is. Rudy's back, protecting the rim. So how does that impact what Mike does and what he's done for a long period of time? The good thing is I think all of our guys, it's important for guys to understand why we're doing something the way we are. I think that you know, that understanding really deepens your commitment and your resolve to do it. And over time, we'll get better at it.
There is a tremendous amount to digest there. Wow. So I thought it was interesting. Offense is instincts and defense is habits. And then he even made the point that we have so much space now, they don't have to be running nearly as much stuff as they used to. It's so easy to just go. Now, frankly, watching Bojan Bogdanović, it feels like he's trying to relearn habits a little bit offensively as well. But you can get the concept of what he's talking about. And that, you know, defense is foundational pieces to him. That you're going to have certain rules. No middle. How the back guy rotates. No corner threes. Whatever those foundational pieces, how you close out might be different from the Jazz to somebody else. So those items, I think, are what he's, you know, suddenly watching guys to learn. And then Quinn used a great analogy that I thought he alluded to here. When you're driving somewhere, this is old, but when you're driving somewhere for the first time, it always feels like it takes much longer than it does to get there when you're on the way back. And then also when you're driving somewhere for the first time, you're not sure where to go, you might be on the phone, you say, I got to get off the phone, I got to really figure out what I'm doing here. Whereas when you drive home, you're on the phone the whole time, you don't even remember the drive, you're not paying attention, you're doing everything else. And right now, the Jazz defensively are at the stage of they're looking for directions and instruction and waiting for Google Maps to tell them where to go correctly. And by the time they think through that, they're not quite as aggressive and they don't have, you know, that reckless abandonment that when you stop thinking like you do on your drive home, you don't turn on Google Maps to go home unless you're trying to see if there's a traffic issue. So maybe, you know, Giannis is there and you got to alter your route a little bit and you got to do some things a little differently. That analogy, I think, kicks into what Quinn's talking about here. I just stole Quinn to talk about Quinn, which might be the essence of what makes Quinn so incredible. I thought that was really and then I thought the other thing in there that was super interesting was the inability to replicate. You just can't replicate Damian Lillard or Giannis or one of these guys in practice. And so you can do all these things and get the fundamentals. And then once you get into the heat of the action, super difficult to be able to have that same ability to know exactly how to react and what to do when suddenly someone's coming at you or it's difficult. And then the Mike Conley part that I mentioned before it started about how you know, he's got different pickup points. He's playing in a different space in the floor. He's playing with a different big that he, you know, Marc Gasol defended one way, Rudy defends another. And Dave, you know, Quinn talked about knowing personnel in there. I think they're going to change the way they defend with Ed Davis a little bit in a way because I'm not sure that Ed Davis and Derek Favors are the same guy from what I'm watching. And Ed Davis does some things differently than what Derek Favors does, and so you'll probably see the second unit play a little bit of a different defensive style than the first unit, which actually I think gets really difficult for opponents to prepare for and is kind of a cool concept. So I thought that was really fabulous. And again, this is all about, like, why should we be so excited that Quinn Snyder has signed an extension, is going to be here for, sounds like, at least 4 years, maybe more. I think these are the answers of why you see that kind of detail. The next one is actually the most remarkable, and that is the Jazz player development system and the level of detail they've gone to build it and what his coaches have to do, and that is upcoming. Today's show is brought to you in part by Ahomey. They're revolutionizing the real estate market and saving you money. That's really what they're doing. It's all cool. We can give them their tip of the hat for revolutionizing the real estate market, but what they're doing is they're saving you money. When you buy a house with Ahomey, they now save you money. We've talked about selling your house with Ahomey a lot. $1,500 set fee. You can text LOCK to 88588 to learn more about that. That's LOCK to 88588. But you can also buy a home with Ahomey. And what Ahomey will do is they'll work with you the process and then work to get you up to $5,000 back on your closing fees. It is not free to buy a home. The money you pay for your home is used to pay the seller, their agent, and whatever agent you choose to hire. It's your money that pays both agents. So Ahomey is returning $5,000 to you. It's simple. Get started with Ahomey. Just find the home you want to see on Ahomey.com. Click and take a tour, or have your Ahomey agent find your dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal, and work to get you $5,000 back. Go to Ahomey.com or text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's 88588. Locked On NBA channel is loaded up for you this year. We have the daily show, Locked On NBA. Last night's action, the next day, the biggest stories, 30-minute bite-sized national NBA show for you. We have Rejecting the Screen twice a week with Thursdays with a long-form interview. Last week with Sam Mitchell, and really good if you haven't heard it already. And then Hollinger and Duncan now for you. The big-time show came out this Monday. It's already out for you. Go grab Hollinger and Duncan, John Hollinger. Front office, point of view, plus analytics guru from ESPN. Then spent 7 years with the Memphis Grizzlies. All right, here is the last and final cut. This one's just awesome. I almost broke this into different concepts. He gets into the player development, and you can tell this is what Quinn wants to talk about. Like, he loves this. So he gets into the various aspects of work and how you do things and how you get better and how they develop players. And you got the first thing that's so awesome, it's kind of where I started with Quinn, is his just awareness of everyone. It's just incredible. I've experienced it multiple times. But it's awareness of where Emmanuel Mudiay is in his life and his game compared to Joe Ingles in his life and his game, compared to Bojan Bogdanovic in his life and his game, what their fears are, what their desires are, what their worries are, what their strengths are, and how you develop each of them individually. And then he gets into, you know what, it doesn't do any good to just tell Emmanuel Mudiay to get better at his shot or his handle. Let's work on it situationally. Let's work on it actually in manners that are going to show up in the game. And what I've seen with these players is when they're working with something, say, with assistant coach Jeff Watkinson before the game or, you know, in the practice gym, and then you see them use it in the game, their excitement to getting back on the court the next day with that coach to learn the next piece that they can also implement in the game, and they can noticeably feel themselves get better. Waddy worked a lot with Royce O'Neal on his finishing and just skyrocketed his finishing last year. And though you see it with these players, they work so hard on this, the most basic reverse side layup, underhand scoop, whatever it might be, that they're getting hit as they lay it up and in. And then you see them actually do it in a game, and they just are so fired up. It's truly remarkable. The final thing Quinn gets into in this is might be the most interesting. He talks about BP, which he says is either before practice or batting practice. And so that is when you work with your individual coach before practice or batting practice on these skills. Then he talks about having solos. So solo is you're working on an individual skill with a coach. Combos might be Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert working just the two of them on a pick and roll. Or Joe Ingles and Derek Favors working just on a pick and roll. Whatever it might be, or some aspect of Bojan Bogdanovic coming off a screen in the corner and working with whatever player is screening him so they begin to get a feeling. So they break it down into individuals, and then they break it into doubles. This is quite an answer.
I think it's important to understand and accept that every guy is different. You know, every player is unique. And You know, I think the development plans that we want to try to build to give guys a path have to be unique to them. There's some commonality through all of it, but what can make Emmanuel Mudiay successful, you know, is different than what would make Joe Ingles successful. And I say that, and I think that on the baseline, you know, them defending, you know, is something that everybody can embrace, you know, and, you know, and we work on that too, you know, I think, and so I think the comprehensive nature of the plan and the situational nature, so sometimes with player development, getting a long answer, but it's a kind of a philosophical question on some level, is, you know, you can go in the gym and work on your shooting, work on your ball handling. Well, then what's the application? Like, what does that mean? Like, you see the halftime show with the guy that has like three balls and he's dribbling them everywhere. Well, that's great, but is that going to help you go by your guy? You know, so, and, you know, if you can't dribble with your left hand, like, you may be able to, they're going to send you left. So now you need to work on that. So everybody, you know, if you can dribble with both hands, maybe, you know, you need a counter. So I think what happens is you see guys play, whether it be in college, in the summer, or during the season, and you're able to kind of look at it and kind of evaluate what the things that are important. And from that point, too, it's tiered. You know, like, what's most important today? You know, and there's kind of today, tomorrow, and too late. So today, what can you do to help your team win and get on the floor? And then what do you need to be working on so that you can continue to improve? And then are there things that, you know, that's not, you know, we're not going to post Joe Ingles up, you know? And so let's not spend time working on his post game, you know? He may disagree, but. So I think our staff does a great job of taking situations that are real. Mentioned the shooting, you know, like, what shot? Is it off a screen? Is it a corner three for Jeff Green? You know, Mike Conley coming off pin downs. You know, it's, even though he's a point guard, he's really good coming off screen. So we should be working on that, you know. And so mirroring up the things that guys need to just get better at to what can they do, you know, in what situations do they. Because you can work on something and work on it, well, that's great. You're really good at that. But if it never comes up in a game, you know, either the coach has to change what you're doing in the game. And sometimes that'll happen. If you get so good at something, to Joe's pick and roll question, Joe became so efficient and good in pick and roll that we started playing a lot of 3-5 pick and roll, you know, and he worked on that. And a lot of that, to be honest with you, he developed a floater. So that may be, you know, he didn't have a float game. And as he got that allowed him all of a sudden to get guarded, and now he can pass. So now he's making plays in pick and roll. So it's something we really enjoy doing as a group. You know, our guys are able to, and our staff. And it's there's a lot of film involved. I mean, I'm gonna say a lot, a very consistent dose of film. The guys aren't sitting down watching games the way coaches are, but every game, all our players will have clips that one of the coaches is pulling them over. And all the coaches do their own edits. You know, it's not, we have a great group of, you know, young guys that work in the video room, but Johnny Bryant's there, Alex Jensen, they're cutting up the tape, showing it to Rudy and Donovan. And because if they wait till the next day and they don't do it, you know, it's too late. So I think the consistency, we call it batting practice. So it's before practice or it's batting practice. So my dad was a baseball coach, so BP. So it's, and then there's like the other part of it is, it's not just a player in a vacuum. I think to the extent, like, if Joe needs to be better in pick and roll, then he's got to play pick and roll with Rudy. They got to practice that. So we call that combos. You know, we have solos and combos and concepts. And anyway, I think the detail of it is really important to us.
Well, the goal of this show was to give you a grasp of kind of maybe the excellence of this Quinn Snyder. I thought he showed it in this press conference, three questions, dug into it. He revealed an awful lot about the program and who they are, and it's just a great day for the Jazz to have Quinn knotted up for at least what sounds like, you know, multi-year extension with 2 years on a deal, so 4 or 5 years in the midst of all of it. The Millers, just with an amazing commitment to excellence. They believe in their people. They allow their employees to be great. They've given Quinn the runway to do that. And I think you see in these interviews the level of depth that makes it him so special. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was a little different way to do things. I keep trying things. We've done this show together for a long, long time. So hopefully when we spice it up, it doesn't unnerve you and you still like it. Thanks again for all the support. Enjoy right now. Why don't you tell your smart speaker to play the most recent episode of podcast Hollinger and Duncan and enjoy that national show, or grab Locked On NBA. All six of our previews are up there for you, and you can get ready for those before tip off tomorrow. We'll be with you tomorrow for opening day of the NBA, then Jazz opener on Wednesday. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.